Hi! Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today. Everybody, it's 2018. Welcome. We made it. We're this far. We're going to be talking about so much good stuff today that'll get you started on a great note for the new year. We Mentor Inc., along with donations and sponsors, fund this podcast. So you can just go to wementor.com, click on the button and move to the area where you can click on and make a donation. That would be a great way to start the new year and show your support for this program. We Mentor Inc. is an innovative mentoring community I founded in 1992, where small business owners co-create a leadership foundation of mutual human advancement and profitability. In small peer mentoring leadership labs and one-on-one mentoring sessions, we explore where you've been, where you're at, and co-create your future. When we mentor, you design a better life and an interdependent future. My podcast exemplifies this innovative mentoring community by sharing life and leadership stories that will help you expand human engagement, innovation, creativity, productivity, and trust. We believe hashtag truth tellers win, which is my another one of my Twitter handles, and hashtag truth telling wins, which is a Facebook I co-created with Debbie Unterman to provide people with an opportunity to share their life stories and explore the level of truth in their experiences. We approach each mentoring conversation with a sense of love, belonging, and a desire to deepen our connection with the speaker and the audience. So welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast. Today's guest is Mickey Mikeworth of Mikeworth Consulting Group, and we're going to sneak into the conversation Fatoon Ali, who owns her own nonprofit agency. And go ahead, Mickey.
And I snuck her in. She didn't know until we got here.
I know.
We tricked her.
And she agreed.
So there we go.
To give you a little background about Mickey, she's a riot. She has great energy, connects with her audience, and expertly empowers them to take charge of their lives. She has a passion for helping others create and realize prosperity, which comes through loud and clear. And she's a great storyteller with the unique ability to make people laugh heartily, like you've heard us in other episodes, and think deeply during her presentations and also during our conversations. That quote was by Liv Lane. She's a radio host, and I totally concur with my experience with you.
Oh, Liv. Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, that is totally her position, I think. she makes me laugh, too.
Oh, good. Well, Mickey's primary business is Mikeworth Consulting, a private planning firm whose goal is to guide individuals and businesses toward resource innovation to attract wealth faster and more efficiently. She's often called the resource guru by her clients for her ability to help them identify fresh approaches to building value in their financial life by putting personal values as the primary driver for decision making. And that works over and over and over again. Mickey's areas of expertise are keynote speaking, workshops, lectures, custom full semester financial education programs, training for nonprofit groups and outreach workers, and small business consulting. Her ideas are years ahead of trend, which is really critical for business owners, well, anyone, because we need to plan.
Well, you need to do more than plan. You have to be able to see.
Execute.
Well, execution is a big deal, but you have to be able to see where it can go. I mean, one of the things about being able to plan or being available to what is possible in the future is you have to be able to expand to it. I mean, if you can't look out there into the what is possible, it's very hard to build the what is today.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So part of that is that being ahead of trend is really, if I were going to give any advice to anybody,
yeah,
is to really stop looking at what's possible.
Yeah.
And really start looking at what's impossible that you'd rather have.
Oh, that's wonderful. What's impossible and that you would rather have.
That you'd rather have. And then let's build that.
Yes.
let's build that. One of the things that today we brought Fatun in, that's a great example, right, of whose life could have been impossible. And now here it is. Fatun, you and I have been friends for 10, 12 years?
Around that time.
Yeah. Yeah, because how old are your kids now?
15, 14.
Oh, yeah. So that is 12 years. Yeah. So Fatun is one of my favorite stories. She is the executive director at SOMFAM. I've been watching her take on prosperity ideas for a long time and cringing the whole way. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about Fatun is she'll always look at me and go, "Oh, Mickey, really? Yeah, you can do that." And then she does it.
Oh, that's right? Incredible.
Yes, that's true.
That's true. So this is the time that we can publicly, this is your only chance where you can publicly tell people how horrible it's been to be my friend.
I don't know what I would do without Mickey. I swear to God, I don't know. It's like if I have any problem, it's like, Mickey, this is what I'm going through, you know, or I need to see you. Phone call doesn't work for me. I need to see her face to face.
Yes. And then you do that. You get together.
Well, and that's also in that future concept, you can't always see your own future because you're so stuck in what you think your current reality is.
Yeah. So you need feedback from other people to kind of reach out and understand that.
Yeah. Or you need somebody who's just playful enough to think outside of the box.
Way outside of the box.
I am outside of the box this year. I've broken
my
box.
What's your new word for 2018?
Oh, you know what? We were just at an event. So actually, all three of us were at that event.
Yeah, that's where I met Fatun.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, December 28th. I attended with Karen Karsten.
Karen Karsten's Brain Spa.
Rich Chicks Brain Spa.
Yeah, go. It's my favorite.
We embarked on a 3-hour planning session with other women leaders, and that's where I met Fatun and reconnected with you, Mickey.
Yeah.
And I came up with my word of the year.
Yeah.
So I have it pasted up here. It's called equality.
Oh, great.
And I added why it's worth it for love and belonging.
Oh, I love it. And now, for those of you who are listening, you are missing that she's kind of glued this on a piece of paper, and it's hanging in here with us. So, yeah, and it's like cut out. Did you write that in whiteout? What is that?
No, it's
just a paper fancy paper. Showing,
yeah. Well, yeah. I cut out the words from a magazine.
Oh, okay.
At the Brain Spa.
Oh, yeah.
Right, where we were, using creative tools to really express and do each part of our assignments, which were huge.
Those assignments are huge. But yeah. You know what? I will confess that I always go to that third page from the back in Karen's packet to the cheat sheet that you can just do the five things.
Yes.
And you can be done in 7 minutes. So,
That took you only 7 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
That took you, because there's... Right? Yes, the fast fives.
Okay, you can do this at home. Five goals.
Yeah, five
right?
goals.
Five people to get closer to.
Yep.
Is this okay for me sharing this?
Yeah, I wrote it.
Okay. Five new skills to learn. Mm-hmm. Five problems to resolve. I thought was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Five fabulous adventures. And five things to let go of.
Yeah.
So that took me probably about an hour and a half.
Oh, you're kidding.
Because it wasn't
you're so serious. Can I touch your piece of paper?
I'm passing my piece of paper reluctantly over to
Mickey.
And now
Fatun, oh my gosh, and I'm on the list of five people to get closer to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I love all the people that are on here. This is fantastic. So, mine was easy because I kind of had a lot of things that I'd thought about in advance. I knew that
because you knew this was
there. I wrote
since
the cheat sheet.
Yeah, right. Since you wrote it, you kind of know what was coming.
And I will tell you, I wrote that cheat sheet 15 years ago.
Wow. And is that how long you've been doing the Brain Spa?
About that. You know, we founded Rich Chicks in 1998, so this is our 20th year.
And tell us a little bit more about who Karen is.
Well, Karen Carson is a mastermind. I mean, she is just fantastic. She used to be the head of the Minnesota Coaches Association, so she has that real coaching background. But she runs, she's owned Rich Chicks now. I sent it over to her probably 10 years ago. So she does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And she really comes from that coaching mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she does a great job.
When she did card readings, tarot card readings at the spa, which was insightful. I left a little disturbed about that, but I'm kind of emotionally all over the place according to my tarot card.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. No, I did the cheat sheet and, you know, kind of getting in touch with everyone. Fatun, did you do the cheat sheet? Or what did you do when you were at that event?
I was trying to get a word, my word, and my word was forgiveness. So, and then as like the whole time I was trying to figure out how that word, what does it mean to me, and forgiving the people that I want to forgive, how would that help me heal my soul?
Oh.
Yeah. So that word took me about an hour, almost 2 hours, to even come up with the words. Mm-hmm. And then healing.
And chills, yeah.
Yeah. And that's so when good. I came over to you. I was like, Mickey, this is my word. Where do I find the words?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yes. So that was my word, yeah.
What I love about, Fatun gave me a tip, might be 2 years ago now. We were journaling, and I have journaled since I was in the sixth grade. So, I mean, and I have them all. So
I burned mine. Yeah. I went through like a little ceremony where I, ripped up all the pieces. This was like, after college. Didn't want anyone to read those books.
Because she doesn't want anyone to know that story.
Right. Yeah, but burned it up and let it all go.
And was that just a cleansing piece?
Yeah, it was totally for cleansing, and I just wanted to let go and create space for new experiences that were wonderful.
I love it. And now you're journaling now for a couple years, 2 years now?
Yeah, three years I've been journaling and talking to my soul.
Yeah, and that was the piece that really turned me on, because that now. This is only going to divulge how old I am, but you know, I've been journaling for like 40 years. And so
you don't look a day over 30.
20, yeah.
Oh, 20. 20 is your number?
No, just kidding.
Jeez, I knew I wouldn't get the number right. Yeah, I'm with the financial wizard.
Right. But, yeah. Yes, Rich Chicks was founded the day I was born. But Fatun had said, I said, tell me more about your journaling. And she said, well, you know, I wanted to talk to my soul, because you also were using it as a healing option.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was angry about a lot of things. I was angry with my dad abandoning me as a child. Mm-hmm. I was angry about the community that I was from because of being Somali minority and the discrimination. I was angry about, you know, coming here in North America as a teenager without my consent and living in a world that I don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. So that anger built up, and I just wanted to talk to my soul about it.
Yeah.
And how did that go? I mean, what were your first, like I can...
She writes like Dear Soul or
dear
something.
Dear Soul.
Oh, you do? So a real letter.
Really?
Like I write Dear God.
Oh, yeah. See? Yeah.
See?
Hers is Dear Soul.
Dear Soul.
Your
inner. So that goes right to your inner child.
Yes. Oh, inner everything.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So tell us more about you and your process with that.
Well, I will just run away and sit in a quiet place, get my favorite coffee, and get my laptop. You know?
Your favorite coffee. I love that. Okay. Yeah. We're having coffee right now.
Yes.
And tea. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I will just, you know, go to my room. Got my computer, and I was the word that comes to my mind, or I feel comfortable, dear my lovely soul, or my dear my soul, or you know, nice words that makes me feel good.
Yes.
And then I was like, how do you feel today? What can I help you? you know, what makes you comfortable? Or what do you want to talk about today? How did your day go today? How can I help? Or how can I contribute to the people that need me in my life? So it depends on what kind of topic I want to talk about.
That is such powerful language to use with yourself. Like, that's so empowering.
Oh, my gosh. It changed so much for me to have that conversation. And we have had this conversation from the day that we talked about it. I bet I've had it with 50 to 70 people very intimately. And it's also a Buddhist technique. So that is also a technique where you really can lean into that pain body.
Yeah.
And kind of say, hey.
Right.
Right? What do you need? And I didn't realize that when I had heard that teaching in a different format, which is Buddhism, from you in just the real life of like girl talk, right?
Right.
That it just hit me so differently than hearing it in a different environment.
And you were able to take this exercise, which came from Buddhism, and apply it to you as a person, a Muslim Somali woman who was here in the United States as a citizen.
She reapplied it to me as a Christian.
Interesting.
I had learned that from studying Buddhism.
Yeah.
But it is very different. But coming back, and we were just in a class together talking about the topic of journaling. And so, yes, as a Muslim woman saying, here's how I'm healing myself. And I'm of Christian descent. So, you know, that just is so, like, hearing it again from that perspective as just my friend going, no, I call my soul darling or sweetie or treasure or,
yeah.
You know, that wasn't in my vocabulary.
So
of self.
Of how she was talking to her soul.
Oh, yeah.
And naming it. And so in touch with your inner self. I mean, to claim that of all the deep experiences that you had and the disruptions that, that you were able to claim, like it reminds me of, like, my soul is pure.
It is. For me, the background that I have, not having a nurse and mother that was not there for me and a father, I didn't have the care and the love that I needed as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like healing my own childhood, you know, and loving my soul and comforting my soul and talking to her about what she's feeling.
Yes.
Or what's making her angry today and how can she be happy with herself.
So it brings out any type of shame, you know,
sure.
It sheds light on where you could have went inward, right, and made it all about you, this experience, but you found through this journaling and naming and your soul and having lots of names for your soul, you played with your inner self, which helped strengthen who you were and shed light on the darkness so that it didn't become who you are.
Yes.
You know, you brought...
Wow. You get an A. Yeah. I think that's really well said. That's powerful.
For me, it's not all about me. Because I know I'm here for a purpose.
Yes.
I don't know what the purpose is.
That's what you're working on right
now?
Yes,
I'm working on it. I'm a mother of four. So I'm not here by myself. And I have a whole community that is looking up to me. I'm the oldest of my family, my siblings, both.
How many siblings?
Oh, my God. My mom had a total of 16 kids.
Okay. My mother's mother had 14.
Wow.
So, yeah, I rarely hear some. Yeah, so I'm relating to you.
That's a lot of.
Yeah, that's a lot to keep track of.
Well, that's a lot of everything.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
That's a lot of everything.
Yeah.
But you came here as a teenager.
I did. And
alone, though. You didn't come with your siblings.
No, I did not.
No.
I came here alone.
Yeah.
And I came to a family that I didn't know. anything about. Yeah, so it was so hard. Scary. It was very hard and scary.
And you know what? Isn't your daughter about the same age now that you were when you got here?
Yes.
Yeah. So isn't my that
son,
crazy?
My son is. Yeah.
Oh, your son is. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to see how unprepared for the world he is, and he's a great kid. So I'm not meaning that in a discounting way.
Anybody at that age, right?
Right.
Any
but,
child.
I mean,
yeah.
Any teenager. I mean, he's
yeah.
a teenager.
Yeah. To have so much responsibility. And because you came here and you were here to take care of your uncle.
Yes, I was.
And so you had like a there was a job that you had to do to come here, and all the risks to just get here, and then to not be able to speak English and connect with other people in a in a regular way through language, which I feel this way too with the French African community that I'm with on a almost daily basis now.
Now
Mike Gabay is nodding.
Yes, she's nodding at the sound guy. Is that where you're from?
He's from the Republic of Congo.
Oh, from the Congo. Oh, that's so interesting. Oh, we're going to have a whole show on that. Let's have that.
We do have a show on that.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Oh.
So I will include it in our show notes.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because that would also be good for you. It's encouraging to hear people who have made a journey over here. But I think your circumstances were so difficult at such a young age to try to understand everything. You flew by yourself too?
No, I flew with my grandmother on my dad's side.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is, one thing that I cannot get over is for one whole year, I did not speak in any language, whether it was Somali or English. I had nobody to talk to in Somali. I was new to the people that I was living with.
So you didn't speak for a whole year?
For a whole year. I didn't
speak. Well, I find that so amazing because we, in Minnesota, we have like this huge Somali population.
She wasn't in Minnesota. She wasn't in Minnesota when she first got here.
Oh, where were you?
It was a small town. In North America.
Okay.
Yeah, so she didn't come here first.
So you were in a different country.
I mean, different state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Small, all Caucasian. There was no black people there.
Okay.
So it was really hard. And I didn't know any of that. But the household that I was living in, my uncle, my grandmother, my grandmother was old and sick. And my uncle was really, really sick and about to die. And the kids that he had did not speak Somali. And the caregivers did not speak Somali. So I was isolated. For 1 year, I didn't speak at all. It was really hard, at all.
Wow. So I think it's interesting that you had to also, you know, because we've known each other for a long time. And the day that you told me, I asked her to write something. And she's like, I don't know how to write.
Mm.
And I went, oh, okay. Well, hold on. We should do something about that. Let's fix that.
Yeah.
But there are just so many pieces that now so much time has gone by where we're having a lot of conversations about language. And I do think it's interesting that now you are writing to that very essence of self and how empowering that is.
Are you in what language are you writing in?
English is the only language that I can read and write.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah. That's such an incredible.
That she wasn't kidding when she said, I don't know how to do that.
Well, and your desire to learn. Your desire to learn. Like, that is really a deep sense of belief in yourself. I believe in myself. I can learn. I'm going to learn. I'm going to figure this out. And you had no parenting role models, and you were here like to take care of two other elderly people. So you had no parent guiding you. And plus, you had younger kids that you had to take care of. So
you could have hit her language.
And you could have easily like lost yourself.
I did. I mean, I lost who I was. I didn't know who I was for many years.
Oh, that's so understandable.
But all I knew was I was so scared and terrified.
Oh, every day, all day?
Every day, all day about, you know, not having friends. I didn't want to make friends. I didn't like having, I didn't want to get close to people, you know.
Yeah.
So it was hard for me to learn who am I And that's when part of my journal is, who am I and why am I here? You know, and all of those things is just they heal me so I can be productive outside myself. Because I don't want to be bitter or angry or sad or mean to anybody. I want to be the happiest person. Everybody knows me in the community or outside my community as that, you know, Fatun. She's happy, she's excited, she's full of life and all of that. But they don't know what's inside, who is Fatun inside herself. Yeah. I am the only one that's dealing inside myself. Yeah. So I have to cope with that and learn how to take care of myself and how to heal my inner self.
Yeah, because you like had to reparent yourself even.
Yes.
And okay, well.
And I don't think it's even reparenting. I think it is parenting.
Yeah, because she didn't have parents there with her.
And she'd already had children by that time. You know, she'd already, you know, you've had, you know, I love her history in general. But, you know, that you've had two children that aren't here anymore.
Yes, I had my first two kids, a boy and a girl. My first child was a boy and my second child was a girl. They both
How old were you?
I was about 18, 19.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they died of muscular dystrophy, both
of
them.
So she had two children.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Died. And I was terrified to have any more kids. And I had to, the doctor said I could not have any more kids with my husband at that time. So after about a year, we got divorced and I got remarried. And my husband at that time is like, I want to have a baby. I was just too scared and terrified. But, you know, I said, okay. Got pregnant and I had my first baby.
Oh.
And that was a healthy baby.
And he's a teenager now.
He's a teenager. He's 15.
And he's fantastic. And he really he loves shoes.
He loves shoes. Oh, my God. And it's like, I was terrified. I was so scared. But this is a child, you know, that's a healthy child because a baby did not come out of me that was crying. He was the first one and it terrified me.
Oh.
I had morning sicknesses with him, which I never had with that.
Oh,
and about five, 4 months, my stomach was moving and I was like, oh my God, something is moving inside of me. And my mom tells me, that's a healthy baby. You know, that's a healthy baby. That's how babies should move at that time.
Right.
And my first two babies, my stomach just grew. I never felt sick or anything. And when I gave birth to them, they didn't cry because they didn't have the strength to cry.
Mm.
They couldn't breathe because of the muscular dystrophy. So right away, they will take the child.
Mm.
And my son died when he was 6 months. And my daughter died when she was 4 months.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Wow.
So,
that's so much for a young mother to overcome.
Yes,
I mean, just in normal circumstances, right? Incredible human being.
It's such a journey, right?
Yeah.
And then now we have two healthy children.
I have four.
And now there's two more that came along.
Yes. I have four healthy, two boys, two girls. They're amazing. They're the joy of my life. I don't know what I would do without them because I love them through me. And I parent myself. I parent myself.
While you're parenting them.
Yes. So I cannot get enough of the hugs and kisses and cuddling and playing with them.
Oh.
I'm mothering myself through, you know, I'm giving the love that I never had. I'm getting the love from them that I never had, the kisses or the hugs or, you know, playing with them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So the theme, I think, of starting this year is so inspirational with both of you being here in the studio to have this conversation and to talk about how we're starting the year and for you to take the risk, you know, to be on the mic where you weren't thinking. So Fatun was initially going to just observe Mickey and I talking and see if she was willing to
One more time.
Yeah, right. But Mickey, you created the space for Fatun to be able to be herself and to be comfortable enough to share with our listeners who Please, you know, give us some response and encouragement, because you took this great risk today to share who you are. And the beautiful exercises that you have done, the powerful journaling to recapture and expand your soul in a way that gave you new life to be able to birth, you know, new life and bring it into the world in such phenomenal ways. So I would love to have you both back so that we can talk more about the world and life and what we're doing in it.
Well, good. We'll be back.
Great.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for everybody tuning in. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, videographer, brother from another mother. We'll see you next week.